Hey everyone, it's Fahan, and you're listening to the Nisa Invest Tea Talk podcast. Hope everybody's good, ready to start your Friday. Alhamdulillah, Juma today, and we're here to recreate in podcast form what happened last year at my local mosque sisters circle, where a few of us got together and I was able to run a session on all things halal personal finance. Whether it had to do with budgeting, halal investing, pensions, we covered all of it. And at the end of the session, I asked my sisters to leave me with what further questions they had so I could cover them with you in podcast form. So thanks so much for joining me, and let's get started. So welcome back to another episode of the Nisa Invest Tea Talk podcast. Thanks so much for joining me. So in this week's episode, the question that we're tackling asked about taxes, pensions, and then with it, it also mentioned return on investment. And when I looked at all these three concepts altogether, the thing that popped into my head was the idea of how to be tax efficient. And why do I jump straight to tax efficiency from this question? Is because of how when we think about investing, we know that investing is a way for us to get a return on our money so that we increase the earning potential of our income. Now then, there is the common phrase that says a penny saved is a penny earned. And that kind of just simply points to the fact that it's important to make sure that we are aware of our costs. Now, two silent but deadly costs on our earning potential is taxes and debt. And there are ways for us to think about those two through the lens of wanting to maximize the overall outcome, not just simply thinking about the return on investment, but rather how is it that paying attention to how to tackle debt effectively and recognizing the impact that it could have on our earning potential in the future, and also similarly thinking about ways for us to be tax efficient both from the get-go before we get our payslip to also the amount of money that comes into our account. So when I was thinking about this episode, I thought we could tackle firstly student loans and how is it that we could look at them as a drag on our earning potential. Second, the idea of using pensions as a way to be more tax efficient and as a way for us to boost the size of the pie that we are aiming to get to, which is the purpose for us to choose to want to invest in a pension to begin with. And then lastly, how is it that we can make the trade-off to the options that we have through ISAs for investing with the money that does hit our current account? Now, this is all for education purposes only, and it's a fun exercise for us to not get bogged down on the detail, but more make sure we maintain a bigger picture. And the first is to simply realize that on the other side of any return that you could get, there is a commensurate cost that it took you to get there. And the only way that we end up with value in the end is making sure that one, the correct one, outweighs the other. So thanks so much for joining me. Just to set this up, why is it that we're thinking about debt and taxes together, and how is it that we're viewing them as a cost? Now, if I had to group those two and in high level terms explain this, I would say that they are the opposite of a return on investment, and they represent partly the cost of capital. Now, cost of capital sounds like a fancy term, but it's one that companies use all the time as a way for them to identify and balance out investment decisions. And we can similarly apply that to our lives. So what does that mean? So if you were a CFO of a major company, the decision that you would have your advisors help you with is simply to understand if your return on investment of the decision that you're trying to make will be greater than the costs involved. So ultimately, the people that gave you the money, meaning the wider stock market and its investors, they feel like that they're gonna get value out of it. or else they just wouldn't be putting the money in. So if we think about that, when we look at that equation, how does the return on capital match the cost of capital? Those two are a measure of the financial health of a company. So similarly, in our case, when we look at our personal finances, whilst it is important to think about getting yourself to a position where you are able to invest in the long term, you will equally want that any risk and any investment that you choose to make is not eaten away or dragged down or limited by the costs that were involved there. And the two that we mentioned were taxes and debt. And both of them, we can find more about them in our payslip, the same way that perhaps a CFO would look at their company's income statement. So let's start with the first one. I said that for the first part, I would focus on student loans specifically. So the way the payoff plan works in the UK is that you pay off a certain amount. If you had taken out student loans and then you're wondering, the way that it's presented to you is that it says that after earning over a certain amount, you'll be paying a certain percentage of your salary towards paying down those student loans, and that over a certain amount of time, they get written off, or equally, if you pass away, they also disappear. Now, if someone took a step back and just looked at that description, it's to me not in any way different to the way someone would describe a tax. So in fact, in some circles, the student loans are simply referred to as the graduate tax or the tax on graduates. And so when you realize that, you think that actually the way to eliminate those student loans is to think about making a payoff plan with the view getting rid of it entirely, because they end up becoming a drag on your future earning potential, because for each extra pound that didn't go towards your student loans, it's taken away from the money that you could put aside further along in the future. By not getting rid of the student loan, it still is able to increase because of the way that compound interest is also working on the student loan, the same way that compounding returns work on investments. And so that actually helps me tie it together with the second point, which is about the way that we look at income tax as a whole. Now, income tax is what we think about when we think of taxes in general, where over a certain threshold, your taxable income rises as you earn more. Over particular thresholds, you pay a certain percentage of tax of the income that's within that band. So everybody starts off with a tax-free allowance, then you've got your basic rate, then you've got your higher rate, and then you've got your additional rate of tax. So where you fall in those taxable income bands, it's not your whole income being taxed at that amount, but it's just about the actual pound amounts that fit into whichever income tax band we're talking about. So how is it that this is similar to what it was that we were talking about in terms of reducing the cost pressures of the things you invest in? Well, we can enter in the idea of your pension allowance and salary sacrifice. So still focusing on your payslip, a lot of employers, they offer pension plans. The important incentive with those is that any amount that you choose to contribute in addition to the amount that your employer has opted you into, that amount actually goes towards reducing your taxable income. So instead of counting towards a particular tax band, it actually overall keeps you lower in the tax bracket. Even though overall you've, you know, a fixed amount of tax, the amount that you then get taxed on gets reduced because you chose to put some of it into your pension instead. And so if we compare the investments that you make in your pension compared to those that you make outside of your pension, the immediate difference is that one was taxed up front whilst the other one wasn't. And we'll go into more detail on that later when we talk about ISAs, but immediately the thing that will come into your mind when you compare the two is the fact that of course, with pensions, you can't easily take the money out. You have to wait until you reach retirement age. But we're taking a long view here. We're talking about long-term goals. And why is that? Is because with your pension, it's all about when is it that you start to contribute and the percentage of your income that you choose to contribute at that time. Now, still talking about what the regular rules of thumb is on that, the regular rule for pension contribution is the idea that you should be half the age that you currently are. That should be the percentage that then gets total contribution into your pension. So some of that will come from your employer, some of that will come from you, and then some of that will also come from the salary sacrifice amount that you choose to do. So thinking that, for example, if you're 30, how is it that I'm going to be in a position where 15% of my income is going towards my pension? We're talking about your pre-tax income, firstly. And second of all, we're talking about knowing that some of that percentage is actually coming from your employer. And so what you're doing there, on top of that, is also giving yourself a boost because you are reducing your taxable income too. So if on that extra amount that you were putting towards your pension, you had instead chosen to take it out as post-tax income, at the very least, you're missing out on a 20% tax deduction because the money gets taxed and there you go. So that is the idea of keeping an eye on your costs, because 20%, if someone told you you could get a 20% return on something, 20% is a sizable amount to consider, but we're talking about a sliver, a portion of your income tax. But yeah, it is still something to think about. And that's the whole idea about salary sacrifice. Unfortunately, it sounds like a horrible term because it's saying that you're sacrificing something, but in reality, you're actually saving yourself from a bit of income tax. Now, on top of that, it really depends on your employer, but often employers also include a matching contribution. So the way that works is that for the amount that you choose to put in, your employer then matches it as well. So in terms of your motivations there, in terms of maximizing your returns, you might actually say, you know what, I want to maximize the amount of the match that I get, because in theory, that is the description of essentially free money. If your employer says, we're going to match it, we're going to match 2%, you're like, okay, well, it's worth me putting 2% in so that I could get the, if it's a 100% match, you'll get an additional 2%. So in total, you sacrifice 2% on which that you are going to be getting a tax deduction from. And then your employer, on the other hand, is also going to add on top 2%. If you chose to do none of that, you may have put your 2% into your monthly paycheck. It may have gone taxed 20%, and that's what you got. But instead, you're using that 2% to get an additional 2% and have that all be tax-free. Because we're talking about an amount that then gets invested, you're then able to have that growth compound in your pension. Although, when you take it out, it will be taxed on the way out. It's a trade-off. It's not about avoiding that. It's just recognizing that you're also giving the opportunity for it to grow tax-free and also the opportunity to benefit from the match as well. This brings me on to the third element of this all, which is how is it that we trade this off with the investments that we're able to make through ISAs. The one that is most comparable to your pension is, of course, the lifetime ISA. And the way that that works is that it allows you to contribute £4,000 into a lifetime ISA. And that gives the flexibility of either using that money to buy your first home or alternatively use that as another way to save up in your pension. And in both cases, the government gives a bonus, £1,000 for every £4,000 you put in, and the allowance for the year is £4,000. The issue with the lifetime ISA is that it only applies for house prices within a certain threshold. So it will have to be the price of something that is within the amount that you're thinking. If that's the case, then of course, the flexibility that the lifetime ISA provides is attractive. Otherwise, it works like any other ISA. So with the lifetime ISA, hopefully we're able to connect it back to pensions in general. It's interesting because when we think about the ways in which people can be tax efficient, I could summarize that in three ways when it comes to relating it back to your pension. I mean, all of them happen because you're trying to be tax efficient, but whether they're necessarily related to tax is another question. By doing your salary sacrifice, that's the intention behind that. You're able to contribute to your pension and get tax relief on top, but it could also be motivated by wanting to get the employer match, which is not necessarily tax related. And then on top of that, there is the idea of looking at your lifetime ISA as a way to both top up your pension, or it could be a way for someone to buy a home that's affordable up to a certain level. The benefit of that is that the idea of moving from paying off your student loans and then trying to max out your pension, there are important costs to bear in mind together with investing, and they're all about making sure that you're able to achieve the financial goals that you're after. But it's useful to think about how all these three are kind of connected, because ultimately the point of this particular episode was just to emphasize that it's not just the benefit isn't just to focus on one side of the coin, and it's good to also look at the other. And so here we're trying to balance the idea of what does a return on your investment look like versus that the cost that it took to do it. So recognizing that actually maximizing the potential of any income that you have is the goal, whether you do that by being more tax efficient upfront and then thinking about ways to invest is all going towards the same formula, which is helpful to keep an eye on the actual value that you're bringing. Knowing the levers that you have at your disposal, I feel it can be really empowering, which is what I wanted to try to get across in this episode, is that all of these terms, they kind of are quite complicated, but they are really all connected, because we're all just simply saying, what is the earning potential of the income that I have? Knowing that there is a way that I could, you know, put it into the market, but equally there is the side of it that is relating to the costs. In previous episode, we talked about our personal costs, but here instead, we're talking about the costs that, you know, no one can avoid, such as taxes. And this, hopefully, I'll conclude here, is a way to sort of be empowered to start to have that conversation with yourself or getting advice about what is the goal that I'm trying to maximize here, what makes sense, am I focused on the things that need my most urgent attention, are the efforts that I'm making really going as far as they can. So thanks so much for listening to this episode. This has been the NISA Invest Tea Talk podcast. I will see you next Juma. Bye for now.